Good morning, everyone. Yes, we will continue on in our series of Psalms right up until Advent. So that's just a few more weeks, and then we'll go into Advent. And then, in the new year, we'll start the book of Judges. So this has been a little bit of an extended time in Psalms, but I really feel like the Lord has been blessing us through it. I hope he's been blessing you through it. I feel very blessed through it. Just a little update for you. After the Sacred Assembly Wednesday night, so really Thursday through Sunday, I will be away. I'm taking some time with the Lord to go and have him straighten me out, you know, fix me up, beat me up. But just going to go spend some time with the Lord for a few days. So dear brother Michael will be preaching next Sunday. So just so you know, I'm not ignoring you. I just probably won't be able to get back to a phone call or an email for a couple of days. So let's turn, please, to Psalm 139. It's a really beautiful psalm. Really speaks to so many of the truths that we know and that we know about who God is and who we are come from Psalm 139. Now, its main purpose really isn't to say who is God, to teach us about who God is, but it does that in a really, really powerful way through this psalm of prayer, of really reflecting on God, and David comes to God in such wonder. He's awestruck by how amazing God is, and it's just overflowing in his heart. And I think, as we'll see at the end of this psalm, there's a little section at the very end that just seems like it comes out of left field. You're like, what? Why you start talking about enemies, David, and hating people? What's going on here, right? But I suspect that this whole psalm for David is written in the context of an intense struggle that he is going through. And we know in David's life there were so many struggles. There were actual battles that he fought. There were tons of family problems and struggles that he faced. His own sin and having to repent of his own sin. And we know that he had so many battles within his own mind, within his own soul. And certainly he was the target of the evil one and attacks there also. And so I think David here is in the middle of really intense struggles and suffering. He is reflecting. He is full of awe and wonder at who God is, even in the struggles, or rather, especially when life is really hard. So please follow along as I read Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malice intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is God's word. I think the overall picture, message of this psalm is God knows me. God knows you. He knows you. And for God, knowing isn't just an intellectual reality, right? He doesn't like, you know, yes, God knows 2 + 2 = 4, but that's not what he's talking about in the scriptures when it said God knows something or someone. It means an intimate, complete understanding of who someone is, what they're going through in the past, in the present, and even in the future. First in this passage, in verses 1 through 6, David declares that God is all-seeing. God is all-seeing. He says in verse 2, God, you know when I sit down, when I rise up, even if you're far from me, which again, God can't be far from us, but this is David using poetic language. This, you know what I'm thinking, right? Now, Satan doesn't. He can guess sometimes, you know, because we don't often think a lot of different things. We're pretty simple creatures in many ways. But God knows even our thoughts. God searches out the path before us, behind us. He knows all the ways we are walking right now, we are going to walk. He knows them all. Verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Now again, I know this is like the third week in a row. I just want to call attention when it's using the word Lord in this psalm. It's the all capital L-O-R-D, which is translating the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is the name of God. And it talks about the God who loves us and wants to be in a relationship with us and who promises he will keep the relationship even when we mess up and we break up. It's this powerful, loving God who is with us and who cares for us and keeps us in the palm of his hand always. Even before we speak a word, he knows it. So I know kind of one of the natural questions comes up then is, well, why bother praying? If God knows what we're going to say, he's sovereign, he knows what he's going to do. Why should we even pray? Because he invites us to. Because he loves to be with us and spend time with us. Because he wants to be in our presence, and he knows that we are blessed by being in his presence. It's an invitation to intimacy, to closeness with God. And yes, there are times in the scripture where God changes his mind based upon our prayers. But in prayer, in conversation, it's like saying, you know, well, why should I talk to my spouse? I know what they're going to say. I've been listening to it for 40 years. I know what they're going to say. No need to even talk to them anymore. Well, hopefully, I know this maybe is a bit idealized at times, but hopefully we talk to our spouse because, well, golly, we like them. And we like being with them and spending time with them. And it is a way to continue to get to know one another, even after 40 years, to continue to be in intimacy. So even though God knows what we're going to say, you know, as our father, he could be like, yeah, I don't have time. I know what you're going to say. I'll take care of it. Okay, just go away. Stop bothering me. Never says that. Never. He knows exactly what we're going to say. Even when we don't, even when we're stumbling over what we're going to say or what we're thinking or how we're praying or we're wrestling with the words that come out of our mouths, he's just patiently sitting there listening. Being with us. Because he's our father and we are his children. And this, as I said, blows David's mind. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is high. I cannot attain it. That God knows everything. He is all-seeing. He's all-knowing. Okay. Now, that also can scare us. We can't hide our thoughts and our heart from God. God knows all the terrible things that we think about. All the judgmental things that maybe we're too polite to speak, but that they go through our heads. He knows all of them. And that can be scary. That can make us feel very, very vulnerable. But consider that God, knowing all of the terrible things we think and all the terrible things that we do and will do in the future, full knowledge. We weren't fooling God for a second, and he still said, I love you so much, I'm going to send my only begotten Son to die on the cross for you. To wipe away your sins when you just believe in him. It wasn't like God said, oh boy, those are some really, really super great people who have it all put together. I'm going to send my son for them. And then afterwards he goes, whoa, those people were kind of cretins and they did some bad stuff and I didn't know they were thinking that or I didn't know you were going to do that. If I had known, I never would have sent my... Nope, he knew everything. And so there's no remorse from God. There's just, yep, I know. I know all the things in your heart that you wish weren't there and the things that you think that you wish you didn't think and the things you're wrestling with. And I still die for you. I still love you. He's all-seeing or all-knowing. Second, in verses 7 through 12, he's all-present. He's everywhere. David goes through all this here. Where can I go from you? Where can I get out of your presence? I go to heaven, you're there. I go to the depths, you're there. I go to the ocean, you're there. I go in the darkness, you're there. There's nowhere I can go to get out from God. God is with us. And we say that a lot. It's really kind of part of the name Emmanuel, God with us, right? And that means that there is no point in your life, there is no time today or this week where you will be apart from God. God is going to be with us, every single one of us, every single person in the entire world, at all times, forever. And again, that can be a little scary. If I'm hiding things in my heart and I want to hide in the darkness, you know, or times when we're ashamed of things like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right? They know they've sinned. They see that they have broken God's law. And what do? They try to hide, trying to hide their nakedness. They're ashamed now of God's creation. They try to hide from God. And they can't. None of us can hide, but our shame sometimes makes us want to. And so this can be scary that he's everywhere. But again, the idea is this God who knows everything in our hearts already can never be apart from you, can never leave you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In the book of Romans, right? No, not powers and principalities and no sword, nothing. Nothing in our lives can separate us from God's love. John 10, we are in the palm of God's hand and nothing can take us out of his hand. Not our own sin, not our own indifference, not our own laziness, not the evil one, not circumstances in life, nothing. Even when we don't feel God's closeness, the truth is he's near. So there are times in our life when we go, I feel like God's abandoned me. I feel like God's just left me. And then we have to encourage each other to go, wait a minute. I know it feels that way right now, but I know because of the word of God, that's not true. The truth is, you are there, Lord, wherever I go, okay? And we have to remind each other of that and encourage each other with that. Well, if God's with me, why isn't he taking care of my problems? I don't know. But we do know that he's not abandoned you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't walked away from you. He never will, because he loves you with his love. Remember, all capital Lord, Yahweh, he keeps our relationship, not us. Verses 13 through 18, he is all creative. Beautiful verses here of how God made each one of us. You formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Okay? This is partly where we get the idea. I know this is poetic language here, right? But God is the one who creates us. God is the one who makes us. And David quotes at the end of verse 14 here, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well, right? That old profound theological saying, I don't know it in Latin, but God don't make no junk, right? God made you, and you're beautiful. You're awesome. You are wonderful. God put you together with love and tenderness as He knit you together in your mother's womb. His loving kindness was all through you and towards you and around you. Some of us, and not everyone, of course, some of us get really down on ourselves at times. And in those times we can think, I'm worthless. I'm just made broken. And it's not true. God made you with purpose, with love, with care. And God doesn't make mistakes. You are precious in God's sight. Finally, in verses 19 through 24, we see that God is all holy. Holy meaning set apart. There is no sin in God. And so there's a call here now from David that God would judge the wicked. There's an acknowledgement here that there is evil in the world. There is evil at work. And it is horrific. And God is a God of holiness and of justice. So there's a cry here of David joining in with God's heart, asking for justice to be done against those who reject God, who hate God. And we can take great comfort and must restrain ourselves by remembering, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." God is going to bring about justice for every situation. We do not have to be an avenging angel. I do believe, as followers of Christ, we are to work for justice, and where we see injustice, be ambassadors and work to bring about justice in this world. But if someone has wronged you, I mean, and truly wronged you, God knows. God will judge righteously. And I also got to remember that I've wronged so many people. And God's judgment that should fall on me, by God's grace, He poured out that on Jesus, who stood in my place. Not because there's anything worthy in me, just because He loved me. Not because I was a good person and did all the right things, but because Jesus was holy and stood in my place, and I believe Him. Verse 23 and 24 close out here in this beautiful prayer to God. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It's a beautiful prayer of repentance. It's a time where he's saying he wants to reflect on his sin, and if there's any sinful way, Lord, bring it to my mind that I may confess it to you, I may repent of it, and I may endeavor by the help of your Holy Spirit to live according to your will. It just speaks to David's heart. He's not willing to just say, yeah, I got some rough edges, that's just the way I am. He wants to continually be drawing near to God, who is holy. The Lord our God knows us. He knows you completely and deeply, and in knowing you completely, he loves you, delights in you. We are known and loved by our Heavenly Father. Therefore, be at peace. Take that and have great joy, knowing that you are loved and known by Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your unbelievable love for us, Lord. Never ending, never stopping, never quitting love. It goes on forever. And I do pray, God, that you would search us and you would reveal within our hearts any ways in which we disobey you, Father. And pray, Father, that you would lead us into your paths of righteousness. Lead us in the way everlasting so that you would be glorified, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.